That Matthew chapter 17. And let me read it from verse 14 to get the complete picture. For the text, very reverently. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and so vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and up into the water. And I brought him to the disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generations, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Why could not we cast him out? May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. That is what we want to look at this morning. Why they could not cast him out. And what we're looking at, church, is a ministration the Lord gave to me a few weeks back. And when he speaks, he's speaking not only to me, but he's speaking to every one of us here. These are the disciples of Jesus Christ, who have heard the Lord himself say, these signs shall follow them that in my name they shall cast out devils. And here they are. A devil is before them and they could not cast him out. He said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. He said, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. He said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. But is that our testimony today? Amen. A very unusual topic. But I don't know which other way to title this exhortation than to call it the toothless bulldog. And look at the believer as the toothless bulldog. A bulldog is a very huge dog. I keep dogs in my house. Very wild ones. So I know a little bit of behavior of dogs. But this dog is a big bulldog. Very scary. When you see it naturally, you'll be afraid that this dog will tear you to pieces. When he barks like this, fear. But this dog is toothless. If the only weapon he has is his teeth, and here he is barking and barking, and you suddenly discover the intruder, discover that this dog they bark, but he not get teeth, will you be afraid of that dog again? I'm talking about a Christian. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There is a gift in the Bible that is known as, you know, among the nine gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the gift of the word of knowledge. The gift of the word of knowledge. Praise the Lord. The gift of the word of knowledge is the ability to know something. And it comes in three ways. I have taught it several times here. Through vision. Some of you see that like this, or you're in your prayers, wherever you are, and suddenly you're in another realm. Sometimes like a trance, as if you want to fall asleep, and when the revelation is over, you come back to yourself. It is called a trance. The gift is a vision, or some of us hear audible voice. A voice will be speaking to you. You will turn, you won't see anybody, then you will know that the Spirit of God has just spoken to you. Audible voice. Some voices are loud enough for you to hear. Some very still small voice. Another one is a dream. And that's the commonest one among all human beings, particularly spiritual dreams by Christians. And then the word, inspiration that comes to you like a thought. But it's different from your normal thought, because the one for the thought, it doesn't take long before it comes to pass. That's how you will know that, so this thing is God that spoke to me. It's the one that causes you to know something immediately, you see it fulfilled immediately. Maybe you stand at the bus stop and it just occurred to you as if something is telling you, get out from this place. Get out from this place. Get out from this place. And you are saying, which kind of thought are they here like this? Then while you are still there, you see one Molue driver, when brake don't fail, they clear everybody they pass. They say, so it was God talking to me at this end of my thought. So four ways. Number one, vision, audible voice, dream, and inspiration. All this is God revealing something to you. Now don't confuse it with the other gifts. Listen, prophecy, listen very well. Prophecy is, you don't have part to play even in it. The power of God is the Holy Ghost coming to use a vessel to speak. It comes, bah! That is why, sometimes you even prophesy and you don't know what you spoke when you come back to yourself. The same thing with speaking in tongue. I'm talking about the genuine one. Not the one your pastor taught you in your church. They spake as the Spirit gave them utterance, not as they willed to speak. Even interpretation. Word of wisdom. Even the healing. The discernment of spirits. It is all God Himself coming to just use a vessel to fulfill whatever purpose. But when it comes to the word of knowledge, you have a part to play in it. Some dreams that we receive, they are answers to inquiries. You are disturbed and you are saying, Lord, I want to know your will concerning this. I don't know why this thing is happening around me, Lord, let me know it. In your dream, God can use the dream to give you the answer. True dream, and when I say dream, it includes visions. I'm talking about the word of knowledge generally. Some of them are instructions from God. Instruction to you to carry out, to avert some dangers, or to receive a particular blessing, something you are waiting for. Instructions from God. Praise the Lord. Some of them are a solution to some problems, exposing the secret of the enemy, and so that you will know, give instruction for you to receive, have some bearing. I don't know how to explain this. I have an example in the Bible. The Syrian soldiers, Anytime they are planning to come and attack Israel, God will come to Elijah and reveal their battle plan to Elijah. Elisha. Each time, that gift was a gift of a word of knowledge. And then you tell him, they are coming with so number of men, and they are coming through the eastern gate, or they are coming through this area, and they will be coming so time. And then Elisha will run to the king of Israel and say, see, they are coming like this, they are coming like this. And then the Israeli army, they will now plan their ambush. So while they are like this, they will jam the Israelites. So one day, the king of Syria said, something is happening. There is somebody here, an agent in our midst, that is always going to Israel to reveal our battle plan. And somebody say, king, no, there is one prophet there. His name is Elisha. Anytime with a plan, he get the juju where they do. Where they know that he'd be the problem. And we know the rest of the story. How one day they went and surrounded the house where Elisha was to finish Elisha. But did they succeed? Well, my emphasis is not the story, but how the gift of the word of knowledge also works. Praise the Lord. Sometimes too, that you have, some danger around you. You are close to somebody that, is harmful, is dangerous, but you don't know. You are playing a Christian love. You open your heart, open all your secret. You don't have secret, you open up. Meanwhile, he's a dangerous person. God can use that dream, that vision, that revelation of the word of knowledge to reveal to you that this person you trust so much, be careful, see what he's capable of doing or is planning to do. So it makes you to be cautious around the person. Amen. But where I am concerned is the revelation of a problem that is coming. A revelation of a problem that is coming or is existing. That is the one I am referring to. You have seen the problem. God has revealed it. You have seen the anytime a blessing is coming my way, one demon will come and collect it. Once he comes in the dream, I see it when I wake up. No matter how I pray and fast, it doesn't come to pass. The thing must happen. Pastor, I've been facing this frustration for years. I need deliverance. For your information, every prayer against a problem is a prayer of deliverance. Am I correct? Every prayer against a problem is a deliverance prayer. So the idea of you saying, I don't pray, tire, make I go for deliverance. Show me any gift in the Bible called gift of deliverance. Show me any ministry in the Bible called ministry of deliverance. So there's nothing like, let me go for deliverance. The truth is this. If you don't have the ability to pray for your problem to go, the same reason why that problem could not go, anywhere you go, that problem will still remain. Deliverance is deliverance. Now, I am concerned about gifted brethren, especially those who parade themselves as visioners, prophets, prophetess, those who see vision. And they are quick to tell you, brother, I see a snake. While you are praying, as they dance, snake, they dance around you. And they want me to look at you, that you are a gifted sister by such a revelation. And such people, praise the Lord, the commonest gift in the body of Christ, the commonest one, is not speaking in tongue. The commonest gift is the gift of the word of knowledge. Because almost everybody here looking at me with a dream. Now, but I want to help, you know, those of us who are gifted. The question is this. Amen. Why will I see a problem? Now, listen. Listen. If God comes to you, you have no right to say, thus say the Lord, until you actually hear, thus say the Lord. People operate this gift wrongly. Minister, sitting down there, you can hear me, please. To benefit us a lot and help us in our ministry, I'm telling you. When I see a snake dancing before you, it will not be your portion, brother. Lila, your level is higher than a snake. But in case... in case, if I see a snake dancing before you, or let me put it this way, or I see you, sister, maybe you are looking for the fruit of the womb, I didn't know, and I see you with a child. I see you with a child, holding a child. And then I say, now, remember, all I saw was a child. I didn't hear a voice. I didn't hear even the meaning of that child you hold. Because it can mean several things. Be careful how you give your messages. Say what you see. Sometimes the person you are giving the revelation understands what you see more than you. Amen. And people who jump ahead of the grace of God in their life, they will say, sister, are you looking for fruit of the womb? Say yes. He said, this is thus say the Lord. By this time of life, next year, you will have a child. Did God talk? Amen. Then, 4 years after, the pikin never come. And before you know what, a genuine gift, because you did not operate it properly, is made to look like a false gift. Amen. When I'm teaching you as the oracle of God. Amen. I have been pastoring a ministry that has raised up gifts. There are more gifted people sitting in the congregation now than those you know. Praise the Lord. And I've taken time to study these gifts. And because I want to know, God reveals, you know, how the workings of the Spirit, how it is. So when I teach you, apply it, it will help you. It's for your ministry, not for my own. Because I will never make such stupid mistakes. I know better than to do that. You will never hear me say, thus say the Lord, when I didn't hear him say, thus say the Lord. Tell him, you have no right to say, thus say the Lord, and even give time until you have heard, tell my daughter, by this so time she will have a child. Then you can say, this is thus say the Lord. And you can bank on it. You can stake your life in it. That is when you can say, if it doesn't come to pass, then call me a false prophet. Because you are sure you heard. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, but So that is one of the reasons. Why will God reveal to me a demon? God does not entertain any of us. No revelation is for entertainment. Every revelation has an expectation from God, from you. Listen, church. Anytime God shows you, all of you, Igbo, Sir Joseph, Boboye, Bajayola, Thomas, all of you. Amen. Listen, when God shows you something, it is because you have the ability to do something concerning that matter. God never shows you a revelation so that you go and look for ministers that will fast and pray for you. Your dream, God, if you don't have the ability to do something over that dream, God will not give you that dream. He will go and give somebody else that dream for you. That is how God works, because he will not entertain you. The day you catch this thing, I'm telling you, you'll be a better Christian than this. And the fact that God gives you that dream, it is because he, God, has given you the ability to handle that matter. He has given you the ability to handle that matter. That's why I told you. I said, when you have a dream and you wake up, I say, nobody tells you what you should do. Your spirit man, the reaction you receive when you wake up determines how you will handle that problem. There are some dreams when you wake up, you start fast immediately. You don't eat that day. And nobody told you to fast. You wake up, you come see, say, your husband, pack your load, throw away for house. Throw away for outside. Then you see, and they hold another hand, they bring another woman inside. And you wake up. Then you go say, which kind of dream be this? It's not my portion. Your spirit will be so troubled until appetite to eat that day will not even come. And it is God's own way of putting a desperation inside of you so that you can act immediately to counter that thing that you saw. And if you don't act, it must come to pass. Okay? That is one. What of this category? Which is the one I'm facing now? You see it? In the name of Jesus, I bind you. I cast you out. I tell you that. I cast you out. Enter spirit. Speak in tongues. The demon will stand there looking like this. If I go to vex, say you don't worry, disturb him. Amen. When I traveled recently, a young man, an elderly man, he's not young, came to me and said, see an unusual problem he has. That the demons pursuing him. He said the people pursuing him, he sees them in the dream. He said until sometimes in the dream, when he say, I plead the blood of Jesus against you. He said that too. He said, me too, I plead the blood of Jesus against you. That's a very serious situation. when he told me, I said, he said, Pastor, that's all. And he said his son got worse. He said he fasted for how many days? Very long fast, dry fasting. Went to the mountain, he said, when he came down, said it became worse. And in fact, they had to rush him because it's like he started like running mad after the fast. So I had to tell him, your case is serious. But why will you plead the blood? And the demon will say, now blood, we too plead blood against you. There are some of you that have the same problem. Seven sons of Sceva.
Then too they went to cast up demons. But there was a question they had to answer. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? Amen. There are some of you that if you go for deliverance, you carry people even to your village for deliverance, you come up for deliverance. In your dream, the demon will come and meet you. So, you brought people, Abby. You will see. And you will think, saying a joke is a joke. True. Your eye will see wind that year. Why? There are expectations from you. We have authority. We have power. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, my wife will be hearing this for the second time now. I ask her a question. Ebele, I ask you a question. While we were inside the car traveling, and something dropped in my heart, and I ask you, what is the difference between authority and power? She couldn't give me the answer. With all the big grammar in her mouth. Then me too. My own definition, I could not break it down. Because, praise the Lord, it is authority that gives power. So power is derived from authority. So how do I define it now? So that's all I told her to is my answer. We have authority from where we derive power. But many of us, we have the authority, but we have no power. Amen. Listen, church. Recently, the Inspector General of Police in Nigeria, he ordered that no policeman going on official duty should go in mufti. Sister Patience, am I correct? Confirm, because the Olopa. I read it in the papers.
Confirm.
It's confirmed that no policeman should go on any official duty with mufti. You must wear your uniform. Why? Because the uniform is the symbol of the authority by which you are going for that duty. Am I correct? You are driving your motor, a big truck, driving and coming suddenly. Somebody wear shirt and trousers with slippers and do like this. Will you stop? Why? By what authority are you standing like that? But if that same man withdraws and wear yellow fever uniform and stand and do like this, tap, before the hand go up, you match your brake. Am I correct? Why? Because the symbol of authority is with him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That is the problem with Christianity. I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. That is the authority. That is what gives you the power. But what identification will you have to confirm that you have that power? From morning till evening, they tried to cast out that spirit. All the disciples, none of them. Can we go back to Matthew chapter 17? None of them could cast out that spirit. I want somebody to learn something. For those who have ears to hear. Apply what I'm teaching you this year. Demons are in trouble around you. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Here is it. Verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out, despite the authority you have given us? And Jesus said unto them, number one, that is where we are going now. Why could we not cast those spirits out? Why can't you wake up and stop that problem from coming to pass that you saw in the spirit? Why is that demon husband still tormenting you? Why is that problem not hearkening unto your command, despite you are born again, filled with the Holy Ghost? Why? This message is for all of us. Number one, according to Jesus, number one, praise the Lord. If you're going to write them down, I have five reasons why it is like that. He said, because of your unbelief. How can you say it's because of my unbelief? How do I not believe? And I'm going there to cast out devil. That is number one. Because of unbelief. Why would Jesus tell disciples who saw a demon and they started conducting deliverance, he still says it's because of unbelief? Listen, church. You may stand before a demon and you are casting out, I bind you, I cast you, and yet it is still an action embedded there is unbelief. You will ask how? Then why did you go to cast out the spirit? Now, have you ever entered a house and then it has dogs? I know those dogs can tear you down. And then you try to be bold. Okay, let me not go that way. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to look at somebody who said, I don't fear anything. Me, I don't fear anything. Then he has to walk in the midnight, cross graveyard before going to where he's going in the midnight. They say, na graveyard be this. So what? I cover this graveyard with the blood of Jesus. I am untouchable. I am unstoppable. Then you enter. How will you know? Smarter, you hear one noise. Is that faith? Is that faith? Eh? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I have been with some people conducting deliverance. You are the one, because I know I was doing deliverance in the room. This is my office here. Last week or so. And somebody was sitting in the waiting room. I heard you. I was overhearing you telling him. He said, why you run? I heard Jerry say, why you run? I forgot who it was. But when we were praying, the person was saying, Jesus, fire, Holy Ghost, fire, fire, Holy Ghost, fire, Holy Ghost, fire. The truth is, the fire that the person was praying in the room, now prayer of fear, that demon will not come and meet me here. Will not come and meet me here. Fire, Holy Ghost, fire, fire. So when he heard the person I was doing the deliverance for manifesting and screaming some things out, he said, ah, this is not here, this is not here. You don't come up for us. Praise the Lord. Everybody is guilty of it, including me. I said, Lord, one day, Lord, I want to see you. Lord, my condition. How will I stay? That time, 15 years, no child. Come here now and tell me why.
I've been serving you since I gave my life to Christ. And now you see this reproach. Now, I don't understand anymore. Come and tell me, Lord, I want to see you now. Lord, I want to see you now. It was in the midnight, I was alone. In a sitting room, it's a duplex. Nobody is downstairs. All of them are upstairs. The only me dead there. And I just say, one rat moved. One rat, Narato. My eyes closed, I heard the noise. My head grew 10 times bigger than this one. I ended that prayer. I carried my Bible. I went upstairs. I don't stay again. Then I said, I won't see God. Now only rats don't come. Fear catch me. If God himself come and go, I will die. So, that type of prayer is actually a prayer mingled with fear. Mingle with fear. Praise the Lord. See, unbelief. You are praying and you are crying. You are praying and you are crying. Because of fear. So number one, you have to have confidence. Unbelief will hinder the manifestation of the power of God. That's why, how many times, several times in the Bible, the first thing, every time God wants to manifest himself by allowing the devil to come near you first, before he will step in, the first thing he will tell you is, fear not. Because if you fear, you will disturb what he wants to achieve. Amen. Once that yellow fever wears his yellow fever cloth in Lagos last month. Once he wear that cloth, even if na fake one he wear, the fact that he look like yellow fever, you will match your breakfast. Once he wears that, there is a boldness that comes before him when he is in uniform. So it will be funny to see a man in uniform standing there without confidence. Something is wrong. It simply means the uniform he's put in, he's not a genuine uniform person. Or, he's a uniform person, but he's doing illegal business. Illegal business. Illegal duty. So, unbelief, that is number one. Number two. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, number one, because of my unbelief. Number two, he then let them know. He said, how be it? This kind cannot go except by fasting and prayer. So number two, lack of prayer and lack of fasting affects the authority you have as a Christian. It affects the gift you have. I told a minister who said that he flows more in the spirit when his stomach is full. He cannot, that minister has never fasted for long. Unless you force him, he may fast up to 6 p.m. And you must watch him. If you take your eye, come out, it go enter somewhere.
It's not by works of righteousness, but by his grace alone. It's not he that will it. They know all those scriptures. Amen. So I had to tell her, I say, this gift you have, can't you see it is limited? Are you more gifted than Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ was always fasting. He was always praying. Early in the morning, he will wake up. While his disciples are sleeping, he don't go mountain. He will stay there as the day is breaking. He has prayed and taken over control of the day. Then he come and wake these ones. Then when he wake them, the day's job don't start. He wake them and say, oh yeah, let's go to the other side. They say, they wash their, they say, master, you say, we could go the other side. Are they in the same level? Praise the Lord. William Branham, it was after his death that they discovered the cave that he used to go and withdraw. Regularly, dry fasting, 3 days, regularly. And it's his secret place. Nobody will know. His wife didn't know. All he told his wife is, don't worry. If he said, don't come back, be sure we shall meet in the rapture. In case I don't come back, because I'm going to be with the Lord, anything can happen. He had a lamp. There was, in that cave, there was some slab of rock there. That was his bed. And then another slab of rock, that was his table. And then he took, how some people call it, achibalba. I don't know what you call it. That thing they put rope and then put oil under. They normally burn. What do you call that? That's all. Until he died, people decided to look for it. They found it. Is there anybody in this age that had the anointing that that man had? Can't we also learn something that was the secret of his testimonies? If somebody who the angel was always by his side, born from his mother womb, a prophet, hearing the voice of God from the age of 7, anointed with mighty miracle signs and wonder, he fasted more than anybody else in this age. Who are we, his followers, that think that God will expect less from us and then we expect to achieve the same thing he achieved in his ministry? How many of us here can face a temptation like William Branham faced when he was in a crusade and a bully, we know the story. Now anytime there is any minister that comes for crusade, that's the man that goes to scatter the crusade. So strong that nobody can stop him. He was possessed. He was lunatic. A huge giant. When he's coming, everybody run. And that crusade must scatter. Or let police come and grab him, you know, shock him, render him powerless, and pack him away. William Branham was at the podium before thousands of people in a crusade. And that man landed there. And from the back was cursing and shouting, today, you nonsense, you fake, I will see the end of you. I will do them. The ministers, the ushers, and the security men were trying to rush to him to grab the man because he was coming to the podium. William Branham said, leave him. This is Satan versus God. And the man was raking and coming with strength and to finish him. And William Branham stood. He said, Satan, before me, you will bow here. And the man came. When he reached the podium, he bowed. Church, listen. Was it at the podium William Branham received that power? No. He prepared himself for that before he came to that crusade. I'm not speaking to you only. I'm speaking to myself too. Every one of us. Praise the Lord. Fasting. So many of us don't know that soldiers and athletes. An athlete is going to run 100 dash 1 minute, correct?
100 meters dash. How long does he run it? Less than 1 minute. 10 seconds, 15 seconds. But to be able to run and make any impact within 11 seconds, he has been training for hours. I want you to learn that. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why I say that it is not in the church here, we the ministers that handle microphone, that do deliverance. It is not in the church here we pray. We pray before coming to church. We pray before going to church. And don't go and handle any problem that you're not spiritually prepared to handle. If not, that problem will disgrace you. Praise the Lord. The axe, even the kitchen knife, women, don't you always sharpen your knife in the kitchen and use in the kitchen? If the knife is not sharp, you exert more energy in using that knife than when you have sharpened the knife. Your prayer life is enhanced by that fasting and your personal devotion, prayers, before you launch out for the day. That's how it is. So that is number two. Praise the Lord. Even further to that, fasting and prayer. Yes, now, Apostle Paul said, bodily exercise profited little. There is also spiritual exercise. As you continue to do it, some of you will begin to practice it now. You will practice fasting and prayer. Let me tell you that when you start to do physical exercise, you want to start jogging, aerobics or anything, the first day you try, at the end of it all, you will find pains in your muscles, correct? Seriously. Sometimes the pain will be so much until the second day you will not like to go. Eh? But when you ignore that pain and you keep going, the more frequent you go, when you expect the pain to increase, later on, the pain will decrease and the body will adjust and you will not feel that pain again. So also it is with fasting. When you start to fast for consecration, the first day of your fast, anywhere you go will be upside down, hunger. When you say, I will not eat food or water for 2 days, for 3 days, by the end of the first day, if you don't know, you will give up because you will think you will die. That is when your body will crave for food and water more than any other time. Why? You are undergoing an exercise that the body is not used to. You are introducing something that is strange to the body. Because it's not used to fasting, so it cannot accept it. But when you force it on the body, the second day, by the end of the second day, you will discover that the hunger has reduced. When you enter the third day, you will not even feel any hunger again. Why? The body has now accepted that. The thing why they reject, Bill, I say, they won't make an acceptor. So don't use hunger to disturb your spiritual progress. Fast is not fast if you don't feel hungry when you start. And the more frequent you fast, amen, what you are doing is you are empowering your spirit man. Fasting is not only for minister, it's for every Christian. Because what the minister faces, you face it too. But a believer, you have entered the battlefield. I give the power to cast out devil. It's not only for ministers, it's for every believer. This sign shall follow them that believe. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because those of us who use inverters, If you don't charge the battery, when will it give up power?
If the battery don't receive charge, see the inverter.
The inverter is depending on the battery. And the battery too cannot function until you charge it. And the battery does not charge itself. It receives charge from an external power. And our own charging comes from above. So that we can give forth power. If you don't have that power charged from above, but lay yourself under the Son of God to release that power and charge you, you too, you will speak like those disciples. Why can't we cast out this? Why are this and why are that? Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Number three, the reason why you can't cast out any spirit. You can't chase that demon husband away from your life, demon wife away from your life. The Bible, it is because the name of Jesus has no more power in your mouth. At the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. But it depends on which mouth is calling that name Jesus. It's not every mouth that's saying Jesus' name and there will be response. Amen. And number one, that name has no power in your mouth because of irreverence to that name. If you do not reverence that name, now that name is the name of your creator. No true son, true daughter of a man jokes with the name of his or her father. Everybody respects the name of the father that gave birth to you. It's only Christians that don't know that name Jesus, that it should be revered. We jest with that name. We joke with that name. We play with that name. And so it loses its power and value in our mouth. Because at the time you're supposed to use it, it will still sound as play in your mouth. So you don't derive the benefit from it. When a young, small boy, David and Goliath, David came to face Goliath. When he can say to Goliath, "You come against me," after Goliath boasted that, "I will feed you to the fowls of the air. I will do this, I'll do that," because of his strength. For somebody, a small child like that, it was not a vision he saw, but there was something he cherished. The Bible says God was introducing himself. He said, "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. That is my name forever." David knew that. I look at him. "You come against me by your might, by your weapons, by your size. But I come against you by the name of the God of Israel." You are standing before somebody that can cut off your head. A small tiny boy like that. And you are not afraid. Why? He knows what that name can do. He has confirmed it. He was watching over the sheep of his father. A bear came. Another time a lion came. As tiny as he was, he pursued those two deadly animals and delivered the sheep of his father with his bare hands. "You see you, these uncircumcised Philistines, that will stand against me." Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. "I come against you by the name of the God of Israel." And the only weapon he had, there were five of them. And he released only one. He was going to release the five of them. Only one. There is power in the name of Jesus. I said there is power. When they were criticizing William Branham, the Trinitarians, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, all of them, they were criticizing him, false preacher. He doesn't believe in Trinity. One day, one sorcerer, a woman, with an invocation and enchantment, he called ministers And Christians who are boasting, these people say you have power. We show you don't have any power. Let's demonstrate power now. Mount Carmel showdown. Amen. And the table was set. And she began to make invocation, incantation, invocation, incantation. And the table rose by itself and hung in the air. Anybody who says Satan don't get power is because you never jam Satan. Hallelujah. And everybody gathered there. They were looking. William Pryor was passing and asked what happened there. They said, see what is going on. He went there and saw it. And heard the woman boasting. Then he said, give me chance. Amen. Oh, I wish I would have that type of confidence. Praise the Lord. And then he turned and looked at all of you, they criticize. See what will happen now. You table, in the name of the Father, come down. The table balance. So that name, Father, cannot bring you down, eh? In the name of the Son, come down. The table, gagaraga. If I went higher. So even the name of Son cannot bring you down. In the name of Holy Ghost, come down. Maybe it even went higher, I don't know. So he couldn't come down. He said, so you can see now. But that there is a name. And the mention of that name. Every knee must bow. He said, let's confirm it now. Now you table. You will not only come down and step, but come down and crash to pieces in the name of Jesus. The table fell down and crashed to pieces. There is power in the name. That name. There is power in that name. Praise the Lord. You say you see vision. Anything you see, they come to pass. William Branham was in with a group of people that work with him. Suddenly a vision broke forth. He see a vehicle passing. And then a little child was crushed. I saw people gather. And in that vision, he saw himself going. And then he laid hand on the child. And the child came back to life. And then he told everybody, he said, open your Bible and write it down. It shall come to pass that I will be somewhere one day, and this will happen according to Revelation. Say, write it in your Bible. He too, he wrote it the date, the time he received the vision. They traveled to another country for a program or so. And while they were passing somewhere, they saw people gathered. And then he was asking what was happening. They saw we are crying somewhere. A truck drove past and hit a small boy. The truck didn't stop. He went. And the boy was there dead. And when he came, he saw. Then he told all the people around, he said, open your Bible. Is this not the vision I said I saw? It's not of this. He said, if this child that we're going to meet now does not come back to life, then God did not talk to me. It means I am false. And when everybody was crying, he told them, don't cry. And he went where the child was lying down, dead. Lay his hand and begin to pray. And reminded God, Lord, you revealed this to me so day. Confirm it now that everybody will know you talk to me. Let this boy come back to life. The boy coughed and came back to life. Yes. Hallelujah. I think one of the testimonies of the book written by Robert Lyodon, that testimony and the picture of the boy is there. Praise the Lord. But there are some of us that will see that vision. We will go pray. Nothing will happen. William Branham did not hear a voice that through you will raise that. He only saw a vision. Amen. And he went. If he saw it, then He will do as he saw in the revelation. What will stand against that is prayer. We have authority, church. God has given us the power. And that's why he's given such revelations. I have given you, praise the Lord. Number three, I said the name of Jesus has no more power in your mouth because of irreverence. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Number four. Why you cannot cast out that spirit? Because Jesus says Satan cannot cast out Satan. Let that mean something to somebody. Satan cannot cast out Satan. Hallelujah. If you harbor any unconfessed sin, the Lord will not hear you. The psalmist says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Amen. That's why he said, thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Any unconfessed sin behind you, you are wasting your time. You cannot go to the battle. You can't go to the battle and win. And that demon husband, that demon wife, is described as the accuser of the brethren. He will continue to pursue you if you have his property. Jacob had to leave Laban for his freedom. Went with his two wives, but one of them took the idols of the father, Laban. Rachel, she did that. Therefore, Laban was justified to pursue them. If you hold any property of the devil, he will continue to pursue you. If you are ignorant, it's a different thing. But in a church like this, where we have told you God's standard for righteousness, what you should permit around you and what you should not permit around you, and you keep them, you have no excuse. Again, the accuser of the brethren will accuse you. You hold my property. Hold my property. Some of the property, some of the things we put on women, they are property of Mami Wata. Every time Mami Wata is connected to you through that item, you can't therefore go for deliverance from Mami Wata. You can't wake up and say, I see myself they swim for dream. I cancel that. From now on, I will not go again. Now lie. And should they sleep finish after that prayer, now there you there again. Why? The property is with you. Satan cannot cast out Satan. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes, now. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. That is what he told Joshua. God told Joshua. The first battle, they defeated. Wow. The second battle, what happened? Achan went and took of those nonsense, Babylonish nonsense. And the Babylonish garments. There are Babylonish garments. There are some garments that we cannot put on because we are not Babylonians. We are Zionists. For we have come to Mount Zion, the city of God. And upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance and holiness. And the sons of Jacob shall possess their possession. We are not of this world. So worldly garments cannot be our portion. And you are standing there and doing deliverance. You lie. That demon will never go. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Unforgiveness reduces the power of God around you. Unforgiveness takes God away from you and brings satanic forces all around you. All these hinder the power of God around you. By this water, hypertension, diabetes, ulcer, cancer,
HIV, AIDS, cough, chest problem is over in the name of Jesus.
I declare this water a hormonal drug in the name of Jesus. I declare this water the medicine of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. Number five, the house of God is a house of prayer, not a den of thieves. The house of God, that's what we saw in Mark chapter 11. He went to the temple, and what did he see happening in the temple? They were buying and selling. They were doing bazaar. Bazaar. Going. One bottle of star. Going. Going. One bottle of St. Martin's. Remy Martin's. Going. Going. So I call Remy Martin. Somebody swallow saliva. That was his favorite. Going. That is why I say 1,000. 10,000. Going. 3,000. Going. What? We are doing our annual bazaar and harvest thanksgiving. That's what was going on in the temple. And the Bible tells me, praise the Lord, that we are the temple of God. And any man that defiled the temple of God, him we God destroy. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and verse 17 says so. The Holy Ghost dwells in you, then it's expected that we will keep this temple of God holy. Keep anything that would defile it away, or you lose the power that the temple is supposed to produce. It's a house of prayer. Prayer that is in your mouth. What should be coming out more should be things that edify, things that build, things that bless. Amen. That's why in Proverbs 18:21, he said, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Where he says in James chapter 3, he said, the tongue is full of fire, fire, fire. Let's read some scriptures. Proverbs 21. Just to emphasize this. Amen. Now, if you are there, Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 23. It says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles. Underline it in your Bible. Whoso keepeth his mouth, that is, you know, you tame your mouth. Keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his soul from trouble. Chapter 13, Proverbs chapter 13. Two verses there, verse 2 and verse 3. He says, a man shall eat good, you shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. Verse 3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. He that keepeth his mouth, what do you do? Keepeth his life. But he that opening wide his lips shall have destruction. Destruction. Praise the Lord. That's idle talk. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15. Let's read another one there. Proverbs chapter 15. Verse 4. He said, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. But perverseness
Therein is a breach in the spirit. I emphasize it again. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. But perverseness, theory, is a breach, hindrance in the spirit. Because sweet water and bitter water cannot come out of the same fountain. The Bible says so. Amen. Idle talk discharge the power of the tongue. You sit down and you say nothing that edifies. So gossip. Christian will sit down, the thing will not concern them. It's what is they've been talking about for the last 3-4 hours they came together. Praise the Lord. All you do is to specialize in talking about other people. Negative things, now it's with you. Anytime you speak things that don't edify, you are reducing the power. You are discharging the anointing that is in you. That's why God hates gossip. God hates murmuring. Each time you do that, you are discharging the power that you receive in your morning devotion. The last camp that you went, the last mountain that you went, the last fasting exercise that you went and charged yourself. See how you are discharging it through idle talk. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Remember what you speak. Creates the atmosphere around you. William Brown said, anytime you talk about Satan, Satan will appear there. In an atmosphere where all they know is to fight the enemy, fight the enemy, fight the enemy, that is the area that demons fool. Yes, now, share with our fight. We're going to fight. But where you preach love, 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 love. Satan cannot dwell in an atmosphere of love. Because love brings down God's presence. Because God is love. And he that loveth is of God. I'm telling you one secret. I know somebody will hear me and follow it up and practice it. Anytime you talk about the Holy Ghost, it will come down. Anytime you talk about Jesus, it will come down. Anytime you go and begin to talk to a brother about testimonies of what the Lord has done. You've seen the power of God in manifestation. He will manifest the power there so that the person you are telling will know that you are telling the truth. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is why Psalm 1. Can we read it? It's a psalm to meditate on. If you are not in the presence of God, you cannot draw down God. Always know that. All I'm saying is creating an atmosphere of God's presence around you always. Then you can tap into the power of His presence in every situation. That is what the psalmist summarizes. Verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He said, evil communication corrupts good manners. That's what he's saying. No standard in the way of sinners. No seated in the seat of the scornful. The scornful are those who will never say anything good in another brother, in another sister. Criticism, criticism, criticism. Criticism. And I want you to always note, I say, out of the abundance of the heart, the Bible says so. The mouth speaketh. Ecclesiastes somewhere told us that dreams cometh out of the multitude of business. There are some dreams that you see. It is a continuation of the nonsense you were doing before you slept. What was the last thing that you were engaged in before you slept? What was the last thing you were engaged in before you slept? Is it not one horror film you were looking at? How they used juju finish somebody's marriage?
Nollywood. I say, why they like to watch them? Because I they learn a lot from it. That is why they like to watch them. You know, you are lying to yourself. You are filled with a demon of entertainment. And you don't know it. So, you saw the juju that somebody made and scattered somebody's marriage. That was the last film you saw. Then you enter sleep. The next thing you will see is a juju where one woman will make to take away your husband. Yes, now. Hallelujah. No, it's true now. Amen. You saw how one snake they chased somebody. Ooh, one woman thought to stay. Brother, that the last thing where you see, then you sleep. Even pray, you could not pray. You slept off because you watched it until it was late. What dream will you have? Now, python snake that you're going to see. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Hallelujah. That standeth, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seated in the seat of the scornful. Be careful who you make your friend. But his delight is in the word of God, the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Day and night. What is paramount in your mind is the word of God. The word of God. Let me finish it. When you do that, that person, this is how you look like. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he doeth shall prosper. Elijah was always passing to the mountain to pray. Always passing to the mountain to pray. The 400 prophets of Ahab were always eating in the state house. Elijah, therefore, could stand one time and say, if I be a servant of God, he did not see vision. He was challenging his calling. Let fire, something that has not happened before, come down and consume these nonsense soldiers that they sent to come and arrest me. The fire come down? Yes, now. How many of us here? That is why the Bible says that the children, you know, of this world, they are wiser in their generations than the children of light, you and me. Why did he say so? The last thing that should happen to you when you see an unbeliever challenge you, eh? When you see an unbeliever that you offend, meet you say, me? You will see. I will show you who I am. Fear. Fear. There's something he's boasting by. Do you know why? He belongs somewhere. And he's faithfully serving that thing. They say once every month, bring blood there. Every month they bring blood there. He's sure where he stands. He knows the power he has. And then you too. I will show you that I'm a Christian. The person will shake his enter spirit, look you. He will warn you again. You, this boy. I will waste you. Holy Ghost fire. The guy will shake head again, look you. You, this boy. It's only Christians that we don't follow our God the way we should follow to retain the power. Because what is it that gives you confidence to face challenges of the day? It's more that I am born again. There are things that people who are born again must do to retain power. If you don't do it, you are not better than those who are not born again. Anything. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Psalm 24. Psalm 24. The first four verses there, first five verses. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he, God, has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Now, this is where I'm going. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Hey. Or who shall stand in his holy place? This is the qualification. Verse 4. He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, that person, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Go to verse chapter 15. Psalm 15. Are we there? Praise the Lord. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? And who shall dwell in thy holy hill? The answer, he that walketh uprightly and walketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own heart and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. I'm giving you scriptures to go and read and meditate upon. Praise the Lord. The day I read Psalm 17, I paused for a long time. The first four verses there. I paused for a very long time. I'm telling you, the first time I came across that chapter in my private study. This is a prayer that somebody is praying before God. Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of fiend lips. You are standing before the creator of the heavens and earth that knows all secret, and you are saying my lips are clean. I'm not a lie. I'm not a hypocrite. Verse 2, let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thy eyes behold the things that are equal. That is, you stand, look at me now and judge me. Thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. That is, you have searched me. Come to my secret time. In my privacy, in my secrecy, you will find nothing to hold against me. O God that knoweth all things. He said, I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the path of the destroyer. Then you will notice why also God told King Hezekiah, prepare, set the house in order. I'm going home. You are dying from that sickness. You will not live. And the Bible says, I think that's 2 Kings chapter 20. The Bible says Hezekiah faced God. I cannot die this type of death. Search me. Look at my testimony. Have I not done this? Have I not done this? Have I not done this? I cannot die this type of death. Job also repeated the same thing from Job chapter 31. In fact, the whole chapter. He stated his life of righteousness. He made a covenant with his eye. He will not behold any mate. If he has ever, that is, lustfully looked at another woman, if he has ever slept with anybody's wife, let the same thing happen to him. If he has ever made a vow and did not fulfill it, then let this sickness not go from him. If he has not seen somebody who is in need and he helped, then let his sickness continue. If he has not done this, he started listing all that he did that he feels he did not deserve what is coming around him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's very important that every Christian at every given time that we should be able to have that boldness, and especially those of us that God has decided to use to show forth his glory on earth. We are targets of the enemy. And you don't need a prophecy to know that. That the enemy is making assignment against me, spiritually and physically. That's why he said, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Prayer is what must be part of us. Prayer should not be a program for you as a believer. It should be part of you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Take note of 2 Peter, Timothy, sorry, chapter 2. Now in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Apostle Paul, from verse 20, are we there? But in a great house, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. But in a great house, that great house is the church of God. There are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and on some to honor and some to dishonor. So, which vessel are you? In a great house, there are different vessels. God call me. God call me. There is no problem about that. God call you. God call you. See, there is no big deal that God call you. But God call you for one purpose is what will interest us. Because God called Judas too. My attention was called to the fact that Jesus wanted to go and enter the city to fulfill a particular scripture, and he called his disciple. He said, go. When you go, you will meet a certain man. He's there standing with one animal, one donkey. He said, when you go, tell him that the master has need of that animal. So, that animal is called, isn't it? Eh? Go, call that animal. Oh, you don't understand me. If you know God call you, let me see your hand up. Every one of us, God call us. Because now when I talk, some people don't want to put up their hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. God call that animal. Then they brought the animal. They decorated the animal. Then the master sat on it. As he was entering the city, they put red carpets. They stood with palm trees. And they are shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Here comes the king, Hosanna. And then they are shouting. They made their way. And then the animal, they go like this. And then they shake it. See how they praise me as they go. See how they praise me as they go. I am great. Was it the animal they were praising? After Jesus stepped down from that animal, did you hear about that animal again? There are many of us that have borrowed vessels. Take note. You're only a vessel that God is using. Now, take note. After that man, Jesus stepped down from that animal. Eh? Another man can go and borrow that animal again. I use the animal, isn't it? Praise the Lord. I am telling somebody here, there are some of you that have the gift of prophecy. Thus say the Lord, and now God they talk. Small time again. Satan too want to give his lying prophecy. He too will come again. Hey, this vessel, they here. Make I borrow you too. Then he will anoint you. Wow. Then you start again. Thus say the Lord. But one was a scriptural prophecy. The other one, on scriptural prophecy. One came to pass. The other one did not come to pass. One come to edify. The other one come to cause scatter division. By the same vessel, some they come to pass. Some not they come to pass. The reason is simple. Because you are a borrowed vessel. Whosoever will come and use me. They are the type. No matter the type of lifestyle they live, it does not affect the anointing. The pastor can sleep with you and come and see anointing. Nyafu nyafu will follow. Why? Because God needs a vessel to meet the cry of one of his children in the congregation, and that is the vessel available. He will use him for the purpose of that person. And after he's gone, Satan will come and take over again. And do the same thing. Let's read on. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, and I have mentioned them in Psalm 15 and in Psalm 1 and in Psalm 17, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Somebody say, I am a vessel unto honor. Say it. No, say it and mean it. Say it and mean it. The Holy Ghost cannot come and use you. Go. They said, I will come and use you. Go. No. I read it again, verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from this, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet, suitable for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And he said, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Pure heart, not a fair lips. But foolish and unlearned questions, argument, avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And verse 24, I want to emphasize, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but he must be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Finally, you must pray according to God's will. Because I know somebody will ask this question. Let me make the clarification quickly. There are some revelations that when you see somebody dying, for instance, personally, whenever I am going to have problem with somebody, a fight, a quarrel somewhere, or I'm going to fall sick, there's a particular type of dream I will have. No matter how I pray, how I fast, it must come to pass. Then I learned that what God tells me is to prepare me. I'm supposed to know what to do as a Christian. A servant of God must not strive. So when that fight wants to come, something will remind me, that is the fight that you saw in a dream. Then I will caution myself. Satan, you are a liar. This fight, we're not going to fight out. Amen. This fight, we're not going to fight out. Listen, church. Yes, God can show you the death of your mother. Anything that will happen that will pain you, God will prepare your heart so that you don't get too much shock. When you pray and it comes to pass, Sometimes it is God showing you his will that it will come to pass. It is a time to go. Don't cry. It is my will. Because there are some prayers that you are praying, and you are only praying against the will of God. He said, this is the confidence that we have in him. 1 John chapter 5 verse 14. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. You have already prayed a prayer. Lord, this relationship that I am in, if it is not your will, Father, scatter it. And then you dream. The guy comes to you and remove the engagement ring. And they tell you, say, you don't do again. You see, and they wait another person. Then you wake up and say, lie, lie. It's not my portion. It's not my portion. It's not my portion. It's not my portion. Holy Ghost fire. I possess my possession. It's not my portion. Now. But remember, you have offered a prayer before that revelation comes in. That's why he said, all things work together for good. We must balance these things. But my emphasis is, before you can say, this is the will of God, that these things happen the way they are happening, or that this sickness that refuses to go is the will of God, or that this disappointment I'm facing is my wilderness, you should first look at yourself and examine yourself. Have I been walking in the will of God? Have I been living a life pleasing before God? How has been my prayer life? How do I fast? Do I consecrate myself? Then you can conclude whether you should adjust against next time, or you should accept what has happened as the will of God. Isaiah, a prophet in Babylon, joined them in Babylonian captivity there, living anyhow life, until the day his eye was opened. In Isaiah chapter 6, he saw the glory of God, he saw the throne of God, and he realized he was a man of unclean lips. Now he now knew why he was no longer prophesying. God is a holy God, and this is my mouth. I have drank alcohol, tire. In Babylon, I have gone to their beer parlor. I have done this. Even those food that God said they are unclean, I have eaten them. Hey, Lord, I am a man of unclean lips. I am undone. And God wants somebody to realize that. Then God can cleanse that lips. One of those cherubs took a coal of fire and touched his lips. Somebody, your tongue shall be consecrated in the name of Jesus Christ. Your lips will be charged for this year in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's bow down our heads. Create in me a clean heart, oh Lord,
and renew
right spirit
within me.
Create in me a clean heart, oh Lord, and renew a right spirit. Cast me not away. Everybody.
Cast me not away
from your presence,
O Lord.
Oh,
take not thy
Holy Spirit from me. Cast me not away.
Cast me not away.
That's the prayer of a sincere believer.
Oh,
take
not thy Holy Spirit from me.
Oh, restore.
Salvation.
I renew. as you bow down your head. Take note that Samson lost his power because of sin. Somebody here too. That your mouth, you know how you have desecrated that mouth. That your mouth has made somebody to cry by the things that you spoke to that person. The insults that came from your mouth. The curses that came from your mouth. Somebody is suffering from a curse from your mouth. That is the same mouth that you speak in tongue, and the same mouth you kiss a man that has not married you. You have defiled yourself. That's the mouth you drink alcohol. That's the mouth you do all the dirty things with it. But Samson one day, he said, just one more time, Lord. Just one more time. Just one more time. Cast me not away.
Cast me not away.
From your presence. Somebody, you need restoration. You need restoration. Oh, cast me not away.
Cast me not away from your presence, oh Lord.
Oh, sincere with ourselves. Some of us, we need restoration. You know how you were when you gave your life to Christ. You're no more enjoying that liberty, that grace. It's not the fault of God. Search yourself. This is the beginning of the year. You live a life of defeat, defeat, defeat. Throughout last year, let this year be a year of victory, 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 victory. This is my earnest cry. This is my earnest desire. That's somebody's prayer.
Give me the power to do your will.
That's somebody's prayer.
Oh Lord, I pray.
This is my earnest cry.
This is my earnest desire. Give me the power to do your will. Oh Lord, I pray.
Sing anointing.
Oh, in my life. Cover my head to toe.
Give me the power
to do your will.
Somebody talk to God.
See me true.
Salute your Christian life.
See me true. Lord Jesus, see me true. There is a rest.
There is a rest.
I'm on strong.
I'm on
strong. There is a victory.
There is a victory.
To be won.
Give me power.
Every hour.
have somebody in mind through this exhortation. Lord God Almighty, somebody is hearing what I am said, I've spoken today, and suddenly is realizing the careless life that Satan has taken advantage of and pulled him or her down. Lord, we need restoration. Father, may you restore everyone here today in the name of Jesus Christ. Everyone that has been backsliding. You don't used to pray as you used to pray before. You have backsliding. You cannot fast as you used to fast before. You have backsliding. Nothing in you is zealous now for the things of God. You have backsliding. You have backsliding. You used to go and preach to people before. You have stopped it. You have backsliding. May you receive restoration from today in the name of Jesus Christ.